I want to talk to you about reaching out one more time. I know we've been talking about this for a while, but this is what God has impressed upon me for His church. I make up part of the church, so do you. And over these last 4 weeks, this is week five now, that we have talked about really reaching out, the church really reaching out to others. I hope that you have been able to discern from Scripture as I have shared with you a few of these things. Let me go over just a couple for you again. We, the church, have been commissioned. Remember, Matthew 28:19-20? Jesus commissioned the 12. He's commissioned us, the church. Go ye, therefore, and make disciples. We've been commissioned. We have learned from Paul in the book to Romans, how can the unchurched hear unless they're told? And how are they going to be told unless someone tells them? That's us. It behooves us to tell them, to tell the world about Jesus. We've also learned just last week, we've got this precious, precious gift. If we have been born again, we have this precious, precious gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's too precious of a gift to hold to ourselves. We know too much to be silent. We also saw from the first lesson a month or better ago, the urgency. Time is running out, friends. You may think you got a lot of time. Sometimes we just feel that way. We got lots of time yet. But time is running out. And we saw from our first lesson, from the four men carrying their paralytic friend to Jesus, there was an urgency. They needed their friend to encounter Jesus. And I hope we sense some of that same urgency. We've also seen over this last month, we, His church, having professed faith in Christ, are His witnesses. Either good or bad, we are His witnesses. If we claim the name of Jesus, we are His witnesses. So, I hope that we can discern from Scriptures that after we've seen over these weeks, that we in fact are to be salt and light. We are to reflect His image. We are obligated to share the love of Jesus with other people around us. Several times I've even mentioned to you that sharing Christ with others may be as simple as sharing your story. Now, let me just say this. I can't tell you what your story is. It's your story. It's what you and God have done. It's where you were before Christ and who you are today. That's your story. I can't tell you your story. I can't give you a script. Matter of fact, I can't even hand you a piece of paper and say, go start knocking on doors and use this script for everybody. That's not how God works. But if you know Christ, you've got a story to tell. And He will use your story. I've mentioned this over and over this last month. He will use your story to bring Him glory. Because it's His story. It's a God story. If you have been redeemed, you have a story. Amen? We have a story to tell, the good news of Jesus, what He's done for us, how He's changed us. I can compete with the little ones. I just get louder. I love to have little ones in the sanctuary. I love to have children in the sanctuary. I think it's good for them to be in the worship service. And so I don't mind little ones competing with me at all. If you have your Bibles, turn to John. No, we're going to go to Matthew first. Excuse me. Turn to Matthew. We're talking about reaping the harvest. I hope you have your Bible. I'm in Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38. And if you do not have a Bible, please let me know. We want you to have one. We want you to bring it. We want you to spend time in it because we'll never know the will of God. You've heard me say this over and over and over. We'll never know the will of God if we don't know what's in the Word of God. And so we need to spend time in our Bibles. So I hope you've got yours today. And if you don't have one, you let us know. We'll see that you do. Matthew 9, 35 through 38, I'm reading from the New King James. It says this. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I want to ask us three questions based on this little bit of scripture this morning. I want us to think about this. Friends, first and foremost, are we moved with compassion when we walk the pathway of life and we see the sheep scattered, weary, and on the wrong path? Are we, the church, burdened by that? It's just a question I want you to think about. I ask myself that question. God has given me a burden. Jesus was weary and burdened over the sheep that he saw scattered, as it were, having no direction, having no shepherd. And I simply ask us today, friends, are we moved with compassion? Are we moved with compassion to actually do something about the weary? Are we moved with compassion to do something about the lost? Oh, Jim, I don't like to use that word. That's a little judgmental. That's a little condemning. Jesus used it all the time. Is the church today, are we like Jesus when he looked out over the multitudes? The Bible says he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. I'm simply asking the church today, friends, are we weary? Are we burdened? Are we compassionate about those that have not met the Master Shepherd? It should burden us. I mentioned this in the last month. The harvest that is around us, the people that are on the wrong path, that's not judgmental, it's just the way of life. Some people are on the narrow path because they've trusted Christ as Lord. Some are not. Jesus said that. And we should have a burden for that. The church should be kept up at night praying for those that haven't met Jesus. Hell is a serious place. It's a long time, and the church should be weary as Jesus was weary for those scattered without a shepherd. The church should be. He's given me a burden, and I know he's given some of you a burden. And his entire church, followers of Jesus, we too should be weary over the sheep that are scattered and haven't met the Master. He was. His disciples were. All through the ages, people have been. His church should be too today. Weary and burdened for the wandering who haven't met the Master. Question number two. Do we see in the church today, do we see the harvest? Jesus saw the harvest. Do we see the harvest? And number three, from these little verses, where do you think the laborers are going to come from? I think they're going to come from the church. Where do you think the laborers to love our neighbor as ourselves because we love the Lord are going to come from? Jesus said to his followers that day, and he's still saying it to the church today, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Where do you think they're going to come from? I think they need to come from the church. Don't you? I think they need to come from the church. I think they're coming from our church. And I think as we continue to pray, I think they're going to continue to come from our churches. Little ones today are going to be part of the harvest doors tomorrow. You ask a farmer around here, Dave Bushell or Roy or Chris or my father or some of these farmers. You ask these farmers, can you ignore the harvest? And every one of them will tell you the same thing. Of course not. If you expect there to be one. Of course you can't ignore the harvest. Of course you can't, ladies that like to harvest your flowers or your vegetables. You can't ignore that and expect there to be one. You ask any farmer if they can ignore the harvest, and the answer will be, of course not. If you want there to be one, you have to address the harvest. Guess what? You know where I'm going. It's the same with the church. The church cannot ignore the harvest. There's a harvest of souls. Some of those souls are sitting in church today. Some of them never go to church. Some of them used to be in church. Some of them will be someday. But there's a harvest of souls all around us. The church cannot ignore the harvest. Just like the farmers can't ignore the harvest. It don't come in by itself. Therefore, Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. At a minimum, we can pray for people. Amen? At a minimum, we can do that. We can live lives that reflect Jesus. And the more you live a life, and I live a life that reflects Jesus, the more likely it will be that somebody will come to you and says, what makes you tick? Why don't you cuss like I cuss? Why don't you laugh at my dirty jokes? Why are you uncomfortable when I use the Lord's name in vain? All we have to do is be salt and light and live lives for Jesus, and people will come to you and say to you, something's different. Will you tell me what it is? And you'll have a chance to tell them your story, your God story. John 4, 34 to 38, before we run out of time. John 4, 34 to 38. Jesus is in Samaria. He has just had lengthy conversation with the woman at the well. I think you know the story. The disciples had gone in to buy some food. They came back and he had this long conversation with the woman at the well. They had brought back food. They had said to him, you need to eat. Here's his response. John 4, 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Verse 35. He's addressing the disciples now. And I believe the church today. Do you not say... In other words, he's saying, do you not rationalize in your own minds? You've got this concept about a harvest. You put the plants in, or the seeds in. You pray for and hope for some rain and some sunshine. And in time, you will expect a harvest. And he's saying to them, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes a harvest? He's asking them to think outside the box of the harvest. He's saying to them, normally, you would, if you're harvesting calves, you'd have this schedule. If you're harvesting beans, you'd have this schedule. If you're harvesting your flowers, you'd have this schedule. Normally, he said, you would say, well, it's about 4 months till the harvest. Then see what he said? He said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Right now, we say, yeah, but there isn't supposed to be a harvest till 4 months. Jesus said, they're ripe right now. It's time to do it now. It's time for the church to be aware. It's time for the disciples to be aware. They were in Samaria. We ain't supposed to love the Samaritans. They're our enemies. And Jesus was simply saying to them, it's time right now to be part of the harvest. And then he said, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for the eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Farmers rejoice when the crop comes in. Ladies, gardeners, men are gardeners too, rejoice when the crop comes in. And Jesus is saying to them, when we're reaping and we're sowing and we're doing it together, we're going to rejoice together when the crop's coming in. Hallelujah. For in this, the saying is true. Jesus is still speaking. Verse 37. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Jesus is reminding his disciples, I know we're in Samaria. I know I'm talking to a woman, a Samaritan woman, which was taboo to their way of thinking. And he reminds them with this little statement. Normally, we would rationalize, yeah, but it's going to be about 4 months till the harvest time. Jesus reminded them, the harvest is ready right now. And brothers and sisters, this is not a news flash to you. You know this as well as I do. The harvest is ready right now in our communities. In America and around the globe. The harvest is ready right now. There will be times when you plant spiritual seeds, when you're loving your neighbor, or you're visiting with your coworker, or your family or friends about Jesus. There'll be times when you plant spiritual seeds that you won't see the harvest. That's a fact. Missionaries tell us this all the time. Some of them get to see the harvest, some of them don't. That does not mean we should stop planting. That does not mean we should stop watering. Because there's still a harvest. God is at work in people's hearts and lives. Amen? God is at work. And it does not mean the church should stop planting or watering or talking or loving, because God is at work. And it's no telling what you may say or how you may respond to somebody. And God will take that for His glory and bring them into the harvest. I need to wrap this up. Our time is quickly getting away. And I just want to challenge us this morning. I would like to sing a couple of songs to close, so I'm going to try to wrap this up so we can do the one that's in our bulletin and the I Surrender again. I just want to ask you to think for a moment. Where are the harvest fields in your circle of life? Because there's harvests that need to happen in every one of our circles. Jesus said, lift up your eyes, the fields are white. Those of you that may not be familiar with crops and planting and everything, I think you all are, but the crops at this point were green. And when they turn white, or yellow, your oats and your barleys and your flaxes and your wheats, when they mature, they're turning that white. That's what he meant. The fields are white right now. And I just want us to think this morning, where are the harvest fields in your circle? Is it your coworkers? Is it your family? Is it in the nursing home? I was talking to Dale here just a little while ago this morning, and he went to visit a dear brother of ours in a nursing home. And this dear brother who's dying of cancer, heart disease, has found this nursing home to be his harvest field. Where's your harvest field, friends? I know where mine is. Mine are, a lot of them. And over the last 5 weeks, I've been challenging us that God wants to use the church. Does he need us? No, he doesn't. He's a big God. But he's invited us to be part of his kingdom work. And I'm asking you this morning to think about, Where are the harvest fields in your circle? Because it's time to be part of the harvest. It's time to continue praying to the Lord of the harvest, and it's time to be part of the harvest. Whatever that is, might be motorcycle gangs, might be minority groups, might be a care center, might be jails, might be strangers. Maybe you can talk to them easier than you can talk to your family. I've said it already, maybe it's your coworkers, maybe it's your neighbors. But there are harvest fields around us, brothers and sisters, and God is asking the church to get involved in His work, because He's working on hearts and lives, and be those planters, be those waterers, so He can bring some increase. Let me just say, answer your question quickly. When you say, how can I do that, Jim? Pray. If we're not going to be a praying church, we will be a dying church. Pray for souls. They might be in Awana, they might be in Sunday school, they might be in VBS, they might be in the church hour, but they're probably out there. Pray. Make contact. Make friends. Love your neighbor as yourselves. Offer to pray with them. Offer to give them a little track. We got all kinds of tracks back there. The amazing life of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes I have the four spiritual laws. The way to know God. Who am I that a king would die for me? There's all kinds of tracks we provide for you. Just hand them a track. Just say you're on my mind and I've been praying for you. Just befriend them. And there'll be an opportunity at some point that you'll have a chance to tell them your story, what God has done for you.